The reading this morning is from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Who's had the opportunity to be in a place that is away from civilization? Yep. And you go out into the night sky and it's just blackness. And it seems that you can see more stars there than you ever can here on the coast or in downtown Brisbane. Every night this last week, I've had the opportunity of standing in water up to my knees, holding a rod with a bit of line on it, but staring up into this great, vast, amazing sky. Blackness and stars. Magnificent stars. You can see the Milky Way as clear as anything. Either that or my glasses were really dirty. It was just amazing. I could see shooting stars every now and then. And, you know, shooting stars are pretty cool, hey? You realise they're not really shooting stars.
What?
Okay, but just, you know, they're little meteorites hitting the atmosphere and going... Even if you're lucky, on one night in the northwestern sky, there are untold reports that a country called India let off a rocket into the sky, which caused a great amount of conversation amongst a bunch of fishermen saying, "What is that?" It's an aeroplane taking off from Harvey Bay Airport. Wow, he's got big lights at the front of him. No, that's at the back of him. Oh, wow, he's on fire. What is that? We didn't have a clue. And being on Fraser Island, we didn't have a clue. There was no news. And we still don't have a clue. Maybe India did let off a rocket into the atmosphere. I want you to go back further than a place called Fraser Island. I want you to go back to the very beginning of time. Just imagine. You have to use your imagination skills here. Who's used their imagination skills lately? Oh, good. Good. Excellent. Excellent. A lot of us don't anymore, do we? We don't imagine things anymore. We don't dream. We don't think of what it is to do. I love poetry. And that gets me into a different headspace to write stuff and just let the artistic man come out. So, use your imagination. Go back to the very beginning of time. For me, it's a bit of a picture like the darkness of Fraser Island, except the darkness is darkness. There are no stars. All there is God. What do you see as God? What is it you see? Is it a being? Is it someone that looks like Charlton Heston? Or is it something you just can't get your head around? Even using your imagination, it's just not gelling. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. And a little bit later it says, and the Spirit hovered over the space. So in the many beginning, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit was maneuvering in this thing called creation. And for those of you who are New Testament scholars, you know that John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through the Word all things were created. And we know that the Word is Jesus. So guess what? At the very beginning of all creation, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit breathing life, breathing the stars, breathing everything into very much being. And then he gets to a point where we are there. And what does God say? Let us make them, male and female, in our image. Not in my image, but in our image. We are created in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In this place we have the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son working together, serving and bringing glory to one another in a perfect and intimate communion. You see, our God is the perfect illustration of communion, or if I can put it another way, of community. Community. Right from the very beginning of time that we would ever understand, God set in place his heart, his passion, his desire by his very being of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in community. I have a quote by maybe someone from my family. His name's Darrell Johnson. He wrote a book called Experiencing the Trinity. And he says this: in the deepest mystery of his being, God is intimate relationship, a fellowship of a community of love. I'll read that again. In the deepest mystery of his being, God is an intimate relationship, a fellowship, a community of love. That's the very being of who God is in the Trinity. The very being of who God is. So at the very beginning of time, God went, this is important. Relationships are important. Community is important. And love being shared in this space is community, and it's important. But when God created us, something entered the world. And it shattered that community, didn't it? Who can tell me what entered the world? Sin. Who knows what sin is? Who has practiced sin in their life? Yeah. It's all around. It's everywhere. We are sinners. I am a broken and busted man under the grace and mercy of Almighty God. We are all broken and busted. Sin came into the world and it broke relationships. We are busted, but in Christ we are healed. We sang that today, amen? In Christ we are healed. We know what God has for us. It's something amazing and something complete. But it's not just us. It's actually the whole world that cries out for God's healing power. The whole world cries out for salvation. The whole world is crying out to be redeemed. There's a big picture here, folks. But yet something is still amiss, isn't it? The world is a mess. Is it the fact that it is the now but not yet that we deal with? Is it that we're not letting God truly be Lord of our lives? Or is it something more complex for us to deal with? So I want to put this question to you. Why is there still brokenness and isolation? How do we pursue community in a culture that elevates individuality over interdependence? How do we break through individuality and create a culture of interdependence where we can go beyond ourselves, as I believe God would want us to, because he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? He wants us to enter into a deeper realm of community that impacts this world way beyond our comprehension. I believe God has a plan for each and every one of our lives, each and every one of us. God has a desire that bubbles up inside you that is your dream, your passion to be fulfilled. And only you can do it with God's help and God's support. God has an outpouring of His Spirit for the whole world, for all of His creation, for all who were created in His image, for all the various tribes and languages that we see around us. God would call out to them. Last night I had the pleasure of going to a 50th birthday down at Gold Coast Football Stadium and got to dress up because we sat in a corporate box. And one of the young guys that I grew up with for the last 20 years or so has just recently found out, he was adopted, but he's recently found out that his parents were Aboriginal. And we always thought he was a little bit different, but he's now looking into his whole culture of his Aboriginality. And it's amazing the things he's finding out about who he is and his culture. He knows his language, he knows what it's called, and he's amazed at it. He belongs to a tribe of people who from Stradbroke Island through to Toowoomba. And he's touching base with that. That's one man touching base with something that's his heritage. What about God, who wants to touch base with every language in this whole world? Every person, every people type, every makeup, every colour, every type, he wants to reach out to them. Because that was his plan from the very beginning when time existed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me take you forward to the first century AD. And Bruce shared with us a little bit of what was happening in the early church. But just before we get to what was happening in the early church, in the book of Acts, we get Jesus saying, don't go anywhere, just stay here. But when the Father pours out the Spirit, you will go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. But just wait here. I've got to go. So he spent his 40 days and he ascends into heaven. And then for 10 days, the disciples wait and wait. Can you imagine what that waiting would have felt like? Waiting for the promise of the Father in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been told something and not knowing when it was going to happen? One day. Oh, I don't like one days. One day this might happen, or one day that might happen. One day. One day. I just want it to happen. I just wanted to know. This waiting stuff is not much fun. The disciples waited for 10 days. And then, when they were gathered together in one place, the Father's promise came. And then from that place, they stood up in front of thousands of people who were visiting Jerusalem. And guess what? They were from all different tribes and countries, weren't they? They were from all over the place. What a perfect location. What a perfect way for God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to work another miracle. And so Peter gets up and there's a crowd that has come about. And the miracle takes place where they all get to hear the word of God in their language. They understand it. They perceive it. And 3,000 people get saved that day. That's amazing, isn't it? 3,000. Now, was it just 3,000 from Jerusalem? Or was it 3,000 that were Gentiles? Or was it 3,000 Jewish people? Or was it 3,000 of a mixed bag of people from all over the world? Talk about an administration headache. Peter would be going, I'm going to need to pray in tongues all the time so these people can get a message through, because I don't know all their languages. And I need God to be able to reveal it to them all the time. You see, the disciples only spoke what they spoke. It was a mystery of what God did in and through them by the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled all these people to come to know Jesus. Incredible. Just stop and think for a minute. All these people, different cultures, different types, different colours, all coming together saying, yes, Jesus is Lord. Wow. Incredible. Now, a lot of those people probably went home and took that little bit that Peter was able to share with them on that day. All the out-of-towners, those tribes, those cultures, those languages, they went with one faith and they knew one Lord, and they knew they needed to be one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those that stayed got to be a part of the rest of the book of Acts. Tim Keller says that there's five characteristics of this new faith community that we read about in the book of Acts. And Bruce read that section to us. And that's in Acts chapter 2, if you want to open it up to Acts chapter 2. I'll just read it to you and then I'll say what Tim Keller says. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles, to the teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Yeah, there's some amazing words here already, isn't there? They all sat together and listened to the apostles' teaching. They all sat together and prayed. They all sat together and broke bread. And all the believers had everything in common. That's just amazing. God is doing big things. And there are signs and wonders taking place. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. To anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, who would like to say amen to that being a part of the modern church? Amen. That we met together and that daily people are getting saved. Wouldn't that be awesome to belong to a church where that is taking place day after day after day? That believers are meeting in their houses day after day after day. And they're not just meeting with other Christians, but they're reaching out to their community, to their neighbours, to their friends, to their family, to the people at the surf club, at the high school, at the bicycle club, everywhere. And they're sharing Jesus and people are getting saved. Oh, I want to be a part of a church where that's taking place. Day by day and day after day and always happening. And that church, that community had what? The favour of all the people. I want to be a part of a church where we have the favour of this community, because the presence of God is so heavy upon us that they go, we want what you've got. How do we get that? How do we get to be a part of that? Tim Keller says this. Number one, five characteristics of new faith community, this faith community. Number one, vibrant worship. Where did their worship take place? All over the place. It was in the temple court. It was in their homes. It was wherever they went. It was wherever they went. Worship wasn't just something that they did on the one day. It was something that took place wherever they went. In their homes, welcoming people in. They were going to worship God. And they worshipped God with their lifestyle and who they were. Number two, deep, dynamic and longing fellowship. Loving fellowship. Deep, dynamic and loving fellowship. Not just level, but deep. Really getting into each other's lives. Really getting to know how we get on and how we communicate. And loving one another no matter what. No matter what. I've just come from a week with eight other pastors. And you would think, oh, what a glorious time. Being stuck in a little room with eight other pastors. What a glory that must be. Well, no. No. They're all different. And we're all different ages. And we all read the Bible different. And there were some great times. There was about two pastors I got on really well with. And that's because they and I were on the same page. We agreed. We had community. Those other ones, what the heck are they on? They say they're Baptists, but what's going on? Are we reading the same book? But there was some strong debate. And the debate was strong. But it was all done in this love for one another. And after every debate, these guys are big blokes. Some of them made me look small. I know that's hard to believe, but it was. And they give each other a big hug and love you, brother. Don't agree with you, but I love you, brother. That deepness of relationship. See, deepness of relation doesn't always mean it's all happy clappy. Yay, everyone loves each other. We're good. We're getting on. Because steel sharpens steel. We need to have that rub to just grow together. Grow together. I read a little article just recently that was about N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is an amazing man of God, loves the Lord and writes a lot. Writes a lot. He does a lot about the New Testament. And he got up in front of his lecturer at Bible College, renowned professor. And he gets up and he says, now, what I'm going to share, one third of what I'm going to share is probably going to be wrong. And the reality is, oh, I don't know what third of what I'm going to share is going to be wrong. Because at this moment in time, I believe 100% everything I'm going to say is correct. Now, that's a man of great knowledge and wisdom saying that. And as you get older, I wonder how much of you know there are things that you need to continue to learn and to grow in and understand. Your perception of something may not be complete. And that's why we need to continue to learn from one another and grow with one another. Number three, the teaching was good and solid. Probably covered that a bit then. Number four, there was evangelism. Had to be something happening. People were getting saved every day. Had to be something happening. I don't know what they were using, what program it was. Guess what? It wasn't a program. It was them. They were the message of good news. They were the message of good news. In my devotions this morning, there was a story about this couple who couldn't have kids. Couldn't have kids. They tried all these different things. They'd been prayed for. They were anointed with oil. Couldn't have kids. One Sunday, the wife walks into the church and everyone could see. Everyone could see something was going on. And she couldn't hold in the good news. She had to get up before the service started and she had to let the whole church know, I'm pregnant! The good news was beaming out of her. She couldn't let it just sit there. She had to share the good news. Something that they'd longed for so long, tried so hard, prayed so much, was finally happening. That's good news. But we've got some news that's even better than that. Are we bursting with that excitement to share that with our community? To get in there and say, this is good news. Number five, a compassionate social concern. What did they do? They sold everything they needed to so that everybody who had need had stuff. Isn't that amazing? Their focus was on the kingdom of heaven, not on the kingdom of stuff, not on the materialist stuff. It was about how can we minister to our community? How can we do this? This developing community was not perfect. It was messy. You read the book of Acts. There was messy stuff taken on. There was whinging and complaining. They're getting looked after better than us. Why aren't we getting this? They sang that hymn last week. Why do we have to do it again? They're whinging and complaining. Sounds a bit like today. Not today, today, because today was great, Steve. I love today. We're on the same page. There may be three or four going, what the heck was that? But we're on the same page. I had a great time. I don't know if you saw me at the back, but I gave two little jumps, man. I loved it. You're a good man. But there's that whinging. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. It took place. People are real people. And what do they say? Hurting people hurt people. So what do we need? We need more of God. We need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in and through us, because the more we take over, the more we try and control it, guess what? We're going to make a mistake. We're going to hurt one another. We're going to bruise one another. We need more of God, not less of God. More of God working in us. More of the Father, more of the Son, and more of the Holy Spirit. Underlying this early church was this simple truth. And it's in John chapter 15, verse 12. Now, many of you will know it, but let me just read it to you. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He went to the cross. He obeyed the Father. We need to understand the Lordship. I'm reading some books at the moment that are history books, but they have a novel written through it. And it's all about England in the 600 AD. England wasn't called England, it was called Albion. How many remember that? Albion? Yeah, yep, good. And there was a little place called Bernica. Well, I'm not probably saying it properly. There was another place called Northumbria. There was Wessex. There was the East Anglia. And there was a place called the Pictland, which we know as Scotland now, because apparently the Scotty people came and kicked the Picties out. How about that? But these people, when they were Lord, when you kneeled down before your Lord, little L, little O, little D, when you kneeled down and you took on an oath, guess what? Your life was tied to that Lord. It was tied. If you got married and the next day the Lord said, we're going to war, we're going to go kick those little Picties out of Scotland, then guess what? You went, nah, sorry, mate, just got married. The missus will be really cranky with me if I go to war. Off with his head. What the Lord said, you did. No matter what the missus said, no matter what, you went to war. Do we get that when we talk about Jesus as our Lord? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Or do we go, well, Jesus, no, I don't think so today. I don't think I'm going to answer that prayer. I don't think I'm going to pray for Michelle. I don't think that's important. Or do we grab hold of what Jesus says as Lord and go, be obedient, people. Be obedient. Greater love has no one that lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends, so if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends. Love one another as I have loved you is the underlying fact of all of this. So how do we impact our community? How do we go back to the first century AD? How do we do that impacting? And it comes down to it is us. It is we who will need to do it. We will need to get out of our comfort zones. We will need to go and talk to people. Now, I know for some of you, talking to people is not easy. For me, it's easy. I got on a barge coming home, and there was this couple, and they got off this big dingo bus. And I just went and said, hey, how you doing? They said, we had a great day on Fraser. And I said, what a day? What did you see in a day? And they said, oh, it's fantastic. Isn't it a beautiful place? Oh, they had a French accent, by the way. And so I said, oh, where are you guys from? And they said, we're from France. And I went, oh, comment allez-vous? And they went, oh, you know French? And I went, no, that's all I got. Bonjour. Très bien, merci. Le truc. But I got to sit and chat to these French couple, and all of a sudden another couple came over. And guess where they were from? France. Okay. And then another couple came over, and guess where they were from? France. And I went, so you guys all traveling together? No, we just jumped on the bus this morning and met each other. We're all from France on Fraser Island. Who would have thought? Yay. And then the guy with the shaggy hair and the beard goes, "You must have a lot of French here." And I went, "No, I've never met French people before in my life." And we're having this great chat. And of course they go, "So, what have you been doing for the last week?" "Ah, just been kicking back with God, relaxing, catching fish. Last night I caught this great big shark." All right, it was a shovel-nosed ray.
Shark.
It was 6 foot. "Oh, really, 6 foot?" And they were talking about it. And I just amazing, just talking to them, finding out who they were and a bit about it, and throwing in the prayer and the stuff that we as pastors are doing, and leaving them with a, "Hey, I'll pray that the rest of your holiday is awesome." It's just a little thing, but we can do it. If we can do it to a couple of French people travelling in Australia, we can do it. How do we impact our community? Here's another question for you. And I want you to think about this question, because obviously I've got a trick. What is poverty? Yes?
Poor of spirit.
Poor of spirit. Oh, I like where you're going. It's not where I intended you to go, but thank you very much. You've just shortened the game by 10 minutes. Thank you. Poor of spirit. Yes?
Thinking that we don't have enough.
Is there any base people here who would just put up their hand and go, "Being lack of money, hey, amen, I hear you. Thank you for playing the game. Lack of money, lack of stuff, lack of riches, lack of..." And I would agree, poverty, although I like those other two answers too. In 1990s, the World Bank. Now, I don't know if the World Bank is a good bank or a bad bank, but the World Bank did a questionnaire. And it's a pretty good questionnaire because they interviewed 60,000 people. Say that with me, 60,000 people. And these 60,000 people all came from low-income countries, not low-income families, low-income countries. All right, remember, low-income countries is like us going to Malawi, where for 10 bucks a month I can employ a policeman. 10 Aussie dollars, 1 month I can have my own policeman. That's a low economic, low country. They were asked the question, what is poverty? Here's their top five answers. Strained relationships. Broken relationships. Low self-esteem. The feeling of anxiety, helplessness, and isolation. What does that say? Is Australia a rich country or is it a poor country? Australia is an incredibly poor country. You listed off what ails us at the moment. It is broken relationships. We don't have a clue about relationships in Australia. They're breaking all over the place. Marriages all over the place. Low self-esteem. I think it's a priority as Australians for us to have a low self-esteem. I mean, we were convicts and, you know, we lost in the cricket again. And, oh, woe is me, you know. Feeling, and don't talk about rugby union. Those new Kiwis, my goodness. Feeling of anxiety. We're playing the Kiwis again. Oh, my goodness. Helplessness. We played the Kiwis. Isolation. We're isolated. We're away from it. We have everything, but we have nothing. I had 1,500 friends on Facebook. 1,500. And yet there were times I sit there and go, I feel so alone. What was that other one back in the Bible? Deep, dynamic relationships. Those things from the early church, if we can bring it into this, people are lacking it up. If people are isolated and lonely and brokenhearted and poor in spirit, they need the gospel. The answer for our community is Jesus. It always has been. It always will be. It's Jesus. It's our mighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 100% to do things His ways. How do we impact our community? Very shortly, I just want to wrap it up. We've got a whole bunch of amazing things in place, and we need to just continue to keep rolling with those, and at the same time, continue to look at new ventures and new ways, whether it be in and through the Oikos project,
whether it be in and through our coffee chaplains who go into the mental health ward 2 days a week and just sit there and be Jesus to a bunch of people who are isolated, low self-esteem, broken and hurting. And they're being Jesus in that space. So we've got to love our coffee chaplains and get in behind that. Our coffee and chat. I love the process of coffee and chat. You get together, you get to hang out, but stay tuned for those around you. Look around for those that are sitting at a table by themselves. Are they lonely? Are they isolated? Do they have low self-esteem? How can we invite them in? How hard is it to say, hey, would you like to join us for a coffee? And I know you guys do that. I love you. But keep doing it. Keep going beyond our own comfort zone. Because a lot of the time we could go, no, this is my coffee group. I'm happy with my coffee group. I like these guys. We're all on the same page. If I bring someone into my coffee group, they might not like Holden's like I do. Hey, John Lush. You know, we like that. But if we can go beyond that, yeah, they might meet Jesus and then convert them to Holden. Our home groups. I want to see us bubbling up with home groups. I want to have people knocking on my door every day of the week. Donnie, I want to start a home group. Donnie, I want to start a home group. I'm going to give you one answer. You ready? You want to start a home group? Don't look inside these four walls. Look outside. Get new people to come and join your home group. Start a home group. Invite your neighbours. Share with them Jesus. Sing. Give them food. Have a coffee. Get to know your community. Our youth ministry. Getting to know kids that are as isolated as anything. They've probably got more friends. How many friends have you got on Facebook? Hallelujah. Praise God. Wisdom and parents. My kids thought it was a competition to get more friends than Dad. I don't know who you are, but friend, ha ha. They're isolated. They need Jesus. We need our youth ministry pumping and working. So those involved in youth ministry, keep it up. Our KL kids, listen to the noise up there. It's good. Our Mainly Music. Come on, folks, we need to get behind Mainly Music. You can't give them Donnie dancing every Monday morning. They need to have another Donnie. Oh, it's another person up there dancing. Me dancing all the time is just not fun. Half the kids are scared I'm going to fall on them. And after two songs, I'm exhausted. I feel like falling on them. These are ministries that we need to pump up and keep them moving so we minister into people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Oikos Project, when we start things up, when we do the prayer walks, when we get in and doing barbecues, getting in there, chatting to other people, saying, hi, how you doing? How long you lived here? What's going on? Do you feel isolated? Share Jesus. Just be yourselves. Let's pray. Father God, before us is a massive challenge. Massive challenge. But Father, we come together because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We come together because Almighty God loves community, loves the people that He created, every tribe, every language, and He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit into their lives. And He wants to see them set free from the sin that we talked about in those songs that we sang, and He wants them to step out of the grave into their glorious day of salvation and freedom in Jesus Christ. All of them, Lord God. All of them, Lord God. So, Father, help us. Help us take that message. Help us carry that good news wherever we go when we leave this place today. Help us to go into our places of work. Help us to go into our families, extended families, those who don't know Jesus. Help us to go into our bowls clubs. Help us to go into our sporting clubs, our surf life saving, our schools, our PNCs. That we might share Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. We pray for more of God in and through our lives and in and through this community. That passage from Acts chapter 2, Lord, may it be so in our year as Kiwana Life. May groups be meeting together all the time, all over the place, in different ways, in different fashions, with different worship, but also ministering in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Get us excited about the mission that you have us on to impact this community. And we pray it in Jesus' name. God's people agreed, said, Amen.